Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, primarily 3 through 12, but we'll pick it up beginning with verse 1 just so we can have some continuity in our lessons. Read with me, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, and it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpeh, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpeh, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpeh. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpeh, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God to us for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder upon that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Well, it's a fabulous passage of Scripture, and it's very instructive, because this stone was placed for a memorial in Israel, and it's very significant, because it represents the day and the battle in which the Lord helped Israel against the Philistines. And you'll remember up until this point in Samuel, they'd been having nothing but trouble from the Philistines, and no help from the Lord whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the Lord was helping their enemy, the Philistines, as opposed to helping Israel. But his help here in this case was predicated upon Israel doing some things in preparation for the battle. And we would be wise to consider these things in our own lives. Now notice, first of all, they truly repented. Notice in verse 3, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, notice that, with all your hearts, then what? Put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. The first thing that is, they truly repented. You know, there are a lot of people that come and they say to the Lord, I am very sorry, Lord. I am so sorry. I'll never do it again. Now, they don't know whether they'll ever do it again or not, but at the time, they are willing to make any kind of a vow before the Lord, because they've gotten caught and they're now suffering the consequences of their sin, and they just want that to go away. And truly, they'll do anything or say anything in an effort to try to make the problem go away. And they're very much like Pharaoh was. Pharaoh, whenever he began to experience the plagues that Moses brought to Egypt, you know, would repent. But it wasn't very deep and it wasn't very sincere. He was just looking to get out of the trouble, you know. Basically, pray to God that this thing goes away from me. Thing goes away from me. He goes right back to the kind of man that he was, hard-hearted. Well, Israel, at least at this time, truly, truly repented. I mean, it was just a whole lot more than simply saying, God, we need your help against the Philistines, because the last two times we've really gotten ourselves beat up, and, you know, we're just really sorry about all that. Win the battle for us, and let's go right back to whatever we were. Now, you know the history of Israel, and there was a lot of that, but truly, in their hearts, they wanted to get it straight between themselves and God. And it was with all their heart. That's what Samuel told them to do. And I'll tell you, you need to do the same thing whenever you find that you have a problem with the Lord and things haven't been going well. The first thing to do is go back and look in your own relationship with the Lord and see, man, is there something going on here? Have I strayed from the Lord? Have I been unfaithful? Listen, I remember so many times how men have gotten away from the Lord. And one of the indications that they were away from the Lord is they quit coming to church. You remember when I told you about Elkanah going one time a year to worship the Lord, and the law said you had to go three times a year? I was talking to my associate about it the other day, and he goes, you know, it's remarkable, but he's very much like the Sunday morning Christian. He just goes once a week, when truly a man ought to go to church three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, see? See how that goes? Now, you know, honestly, look in your life and say, have I been faithful? Have I been faithful to stay in my Bible? Have I been faithful to be in church? Have I been faithful to present myself before the Lord? And if not, return unto the Lord. Listen, he has not left you, and he never will. If you're saved, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he meant that. But I'll tell you what, we stray. We get backslidden. We run away. He doesn't change. He's right there where he always has been. The reason you feel like right now you're a million miles away from him is that you've strayed. You've turned your back on him and pursued some things in the world. And you know what Samuel said to Israel? Return to the Lord with all your hearts. And that's what you need to do. You need to return to him. I'm serious. You look in your own life, you have been unfaithful. You hadn't been in your Bible. You hadn't been praying. You hadn't been going to church. You say, well, all those things are just very legalistic. That's what got me into trouble the last time. I was just performing all those things. Listen, you know what? I read my Bible. I pray. I go to church. And you know something? There have been times in my life when I did that simply because that was what was required of me as well. And you know what? I didn't get much out of it, just like you didn't. But you know something? Right now, in my life, I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm going to church. And you know something? I'm doing it as a result of the work of the Word of God in me and not in a way to impress God. And what's happened is you've strayed away from the Lord to the point where he's not using you, and you know he's not using you. You feel shelved. You know you're shelved. Nothing's happening. And, you know, you're wanting God now at a time in your life to help you, and you're embarrassed to talk to him about it. You need him to help you with a health issue in your family. You need him to help you with a financial issue in your family. You need him to help you with a job situation. You need him to help you with your spiritual condition, and you are ashamed to come to him as a crybaby now because you know you've been away. Listen, return to him. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here, you know what? He told them to put away the strange gods, and they did. They put away Balaam and Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. May I tell you something? You say, I don't have any strange gods. I don't have any statues in my house. I don't have any, you know, false god that I've been worshiping. Yeah, but you've got idols in your heart. According to Ezekiel chapter 14, the idols you have, you raised up. Your job became more important to you than your relationship with the Lord. That's an idol. Your family became more important to you than your relationship with the Lord. You said, if we have time off on the weekends, brother, we're going to go out there and we're going to play and get some rest and have some family time. And now all of a sudden you need the Lord to help you with your family, and the family time isn't cutting it. And you know what the problem is? Your family time should have been spent. See how it goes? You see, those things, that recreation in your life, that new boat in your life, that new whatever it is in your life, vehicle, whatever it is that's now got you strapped, you what? It's consuming all your money. Some guys, they're paying $500 a month or $600 a month or whatever it is on their payment on their vehicle because they got one that was much nicer than what they needed, and now they're sitting here thinking, they ain't going to give the Lord $100 a week on my tithe or whatever your tithe is. No way. You know what happened? That truck became an idol in your heart. That's right. You could have gotten by with less, and you know it, but you went over there, you saw that great thing, figured, well, I could work these things out. Now you're having trouble with the bills, and you're crying out to God to help you, and he's not doing it. And you feel very much like the Jews when they were in trouble with the Philistines. You're getting whipped. You're getting whipped, and the problem is you got a strange God there. You say, what are you telling me to do? Some people listen to the radio and they hear these guys that are doing financial counseling like Dave Ramsey and those guys, and they're telling you, pare back, get out of debt, do all this other stuff. You'll find out where your heart really is. Yes, you will. Look, he said here, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. And you know what? The Lord said to us in the New Testament, you can't serve God and mammon. That's right. Because you're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to yield to one and despise the other. I didn't quote it just right, and you know it, because you know that verse doesn't say yield. But you know what's happened. You know what's happened. You got two masters in your life, and you can't serve them both. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And you've tried it, and it isn't working. You know what you need to do? Serve him only. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And you're like, I don't want to do that. Okay, then you just go ahead and beat your head up against the wall and let your enemy, the flesh or the devil or whichever one's getting you, just let him work you over and just keep crying like a baby when everything goes bad and keep on trying to duke it out on your own. It isn't working, pal. You know it's not working. It hasn't been working, and you know that what you're hearing is right, and you just don't want to go through it. Now, I've hurt my shoulder and hurt my neck, and I've gone to physical therapy. And I asked that physical therapist, I said, is there any way you can teach an old dog new tricks? I said, you know what? I am hurting. I'm hurting bad, and I don't want to go through this. And the physical therapist said, yeah. Listen, if you want it bad enough, you'll do whatever it takes to make it work, and if you do whatever it takes to make it work and follow this regimen, it will improve. You know, and I looked at that and I thought to myself, I really do. I don't take pain medications and all that other kind of stuff for this. I'll do whatever it takes to make that work. Well, there's a lot of work involved in that. But you know what? I don't like the pain. I don't want it anymore. And how about you? You want to keep going through the pain you've been having? Because you haven't been serving the Lord only? Go ahead. But if you want that stuff to go away, then make the changes that are necessary. Put away the strange gods. Prepare your heart unto the Lord. You ought to get on your face before the Lord tonight and say, Lord, I am going your way, not my way anymore, and serve him only, and watch him go through there and fix those problems in your life. All right, they truly repented. That's the first thing. You say there's more? That's pretty good load right there, isn't it? Yeah, there's more. Second thing is they confess their sins. Look in 5 and 6. Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. They confessed their sins. He said, we've sinned. We've sinned. You know something? Many times sin is standing in the way of the Lord helping you. And he wants you to confess it. You know, if you confess it, though, he's going to expect you to do something about it, right? Or he's going to expect you to yield to him so he can do something about it. You know, there are a lot of things that I don't do anymore I used to do. You say, well, why is that? Because the Lord didn't want me to do them anymore, and he gave me the strength and the presence of his own dear son in my life and the work of the Spirit of God and the work of the Word of God in me to make those changes in my life. And not only do I not do those things anymore, I don't even want to do those things anymore. And I got a whole lot of friends just like that. And do you know something? You've got something going on in your life that the Lord doesn't like. And you know exactly what it is. And you know that the Lord is not going to give you the kind of help you've been looking for until you lay that thing down before him and confess to him that you're wrong. You say, but I don't want to give it up. Well, sorry, you're going to have to. And now, you know, I am very reasonable about all this. I realize that you are a sinner, and so am I. And they're just some of these things that are going to keep on whipping us until we die. But some of these things aren't whipping you because they just happen to be a sin that you're dealing with in your life and you still live in the flesh. Those things are whipping you because you like them. And that's the problem. You see, when I get whipped by sin, or sometimes even in your own area, when you get whipped by sin, it's not because you really want to be doing that stuff. You're like Paul. You say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. When I would do good, then evil is present with me. And I do the things I don't want to do. You've got some of that going on in your life, but there's some of that other stuff the Lord's been dealing with you about, and you're not getting rid of it because you don't want to get rid of it. And that was the case with Israel. And you know what? Samuel pinned them down, and they said before the Lord, we have sinned against the Lord. Now, you know something? That's a mouthful. You ought to get on your face tonight before God, and you ought to start confessing everything that comes to mind. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know why people keep calling on that radio program and asking the same stupid question over and over and over and over and over again about confession? You know why? Because they know there's something of sin standing in their relationship between them and Jesus Christ. And they keep thinking, all I got to do is thank God and go on down my merry way and everything's going to be fine. Because Jesus has already paid for it. But the problem is, it is affecting your fellowship with the Lord. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And what's happened is you haven't allowed the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to that sin in your life, and it is affecting your fellowship with Him. You're not in the light. And that's why it's not working. So confess those sins. Now, I've watched a guy that helped me preach one time as an interpreter. And I told him the night before he was going to do that, because he'd never done it before, go confess everything you've done that comes to mind before the Lord. Get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and come see me in the morning. Let's get ready to preach. And I'm telling you, that next morning, that guy was so filled with the Spirit of God, he said, up half the night praying and confessing before God everything that the Lord brought before His attention, made sure it was under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, man, I have never been so filled with the Spirit of God in my life. I'm ready to preach. And brother, he did. God used that man to interpret, and I'm telling you what, some folks got saved. Well, something else they did, they fasted. Look at verse 6 again. They gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day. You know what? Fasting sometimes strengthens your relationship with the Lord and your spiritual strength that you receive from Him. Paul was a very spiritual man, and he was very strong spiritually. And you know where he derived a lot of that spiritual strength? Of course, from the Lord God. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. But look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. At verse 27, he's just going through a litany of all kinds of things that have happened to him. And he said, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, that's late night prayer meetings, in hunger and thirst, watch it, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, in fastings often. You know what old Paul figured out? If I'm going to do any good here for the Lord, I'm going to have to push away from the table, and I'm going to have to fast. And these guys fasted. They took that water and poured it out before the Lord. And they didn't eat, and they didn't drink. Why? Because they knew that they had to have every spiritual advantage that was available to them. Now, you know, clearly, we've talked about it on a number of times. The Lord came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there those poor disciples were trying to cast a devil out of a boy and couldn't do it. And the Lord did it right away, and everybody asked, the disciples all asked, how come we couldn't do it? And He said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And they fasted. You know why? They wanted to get a hold of God. Esther fasted before she went in there to talk to King Ahasuerus. I'm telling, a lot of people had to fast to get some strength with the Lord. You know what it does? It just simply puts down the flesh, gets your mind off some distractions, gets your mind off the food, saves you about 3 hours a day. And, I mean, use that time to get closer to the Lord, and you do. You want the Lord to help you? Truly repent. Don't just get upset and, you know, blow it off a week later. Get right with God. Confess your sins and fast. And then I'll tell you something else they did. Look in verses 7 and 8. They relied upon the Lord. Look at this. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines, and rightly so. They lost 4,000 in the first battle, 30,000 in the second battle. Then the Philistines stole their ark for 7 months. When it got back, the men looked inside of the ark, another 50,000 and 70 of them died. Who wouldn't be afraid of an enemy like that? They were scared to death. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Did you see what they said? They didn't say, "Run, go get the ark out of the house of Abinadab," in verses 1 and 2. "Go up to Kirjath-Jearim, bring the ark back down here. It's been up there for 20 years. We sure need that ark here." They didn't say that. Boy, if they learned anything, they learned that one lesson. Back there in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3, they had said, when the people were come to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." They got over that. They got over that poor judgment. It can't save you from anything. No more can Mary's statue or a rosary or any other kind of little good luck charm, spiritual good luck charm that you have. Can't do it. They didn't go up to Kirjath-Jearim and say, "Oh, bring that ark down, help, we got to have the ark." They knew better than that. You know what they did? They said, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Now, let me tell you something. You've been sitting here beating around trying to get help, getting things fixed in your life, and you cannot to this day figure out what the problem is. The problem is you haven't been relying on God to do it. Oh, you may have jumped in there with a sneeze prayer or two, but your total faith and reliance is not upon the Lord in this matter. Listen, the kings of Israel had to learn this lesson over and over again. Asa had to learn it. He relied upon the Lord early on in battle, but then started relying upon treaties with former enemies. Look at 2 Chronicles 16:7. 2 Chronicles 16:7, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." You see what the problem is? People all the time say, "Yeah, I'm relying upon the Lord," and the whole time it's the gold and silver you got in the safe. "I'm relying upon the Lord," and it's the job you stay at till all hours of the night. And I realize you got to be diligent. I realize you got to work. But at some point in time, you got to put all that aside, get your Bible out, get on your knees and say, "God, if you don't get in here and help me, nothing is going to happen." Jesus Christ said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Do you understand it? I hope you do. Because it's not going to work for you to keep doing what you're doing. It didn't work for Israel. Your little statues, your little idols in your heart, the sin that you cherish so much, the fact that you don't want to push away the table and give up a meal for the sake of the Lord God, the fact that you're not relying upon the Lord is the very reason why you're in the trouble you're in today. And then notice this finally in verses 9 and 10, they prayed. Samuel took a suckling lamb, offered it up for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Somebody got a hold of God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Couldn't have had a better prayer warrior than Samuel himself. Listen, in the days of Jeremiah, the Lord picked two men. He picked Moses and he picked Samuel as two of the greatest intercessors of the Old Testament, and said, "Listen, I won't even listen to you when these two men were praying." Jeremiah 15:1, then said the Lord unto me, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth." You know what Israel did? They got a prayer warrior praying on their behalf. So that's what they did. They had somebody intercede for them. They prayed. And they got the best man for the job. If they couldn't have Moses because he was already dead, they got Samuel. Let me tell you something. It helps to have someone who can truly get a hold of God to pray for you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why don't you go to your church's prayer meeting and why don't you raise your hand up and say, would you guys get a hold of God for me? You don't have to go into the details if you don't want them to know what the details are. Just tell them, I've got an unspoken request. I need help in this area of my life, and I'm begging you to pray to God on my behalf that God will do something. And God will do something. You know what he did? He helped them. Verses 10 through 12 show us that the Lord discomfited them. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah, pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came to Bethkar. Samuel took a stone, set it between Mizpah and Shin, called the name of it Ebenezer, which means, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And that's what he'll do for you. This thundering of the Lord is like the thunder at the second coming. You know the Lord's going to wipe out Israel's enemies when he returns. Psalm 18:13. Listen, if he wipes out those enemies when he returns, then he's going to wipe out your enemies now if you'll follow this. The whole passage is significant of what the Lord can do, what he's going to do for Israel and what he can do for you. But you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to rely upon him. You're going to have to confess your sins. You have to get away from those idols and truly repent. Get some folks praying for you and fast and watch God do his job, because he can do it ever, ever so well.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.